why should we be in such desperate
haste? Long Talk Radio.
Do you know what it means to have a revolution? And what it takes to make a solution? Still fighting against oppression. Oh, yeah. We're battling now.
And okay, everyone, hello, 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 I'm Kay Thompson, and welcome to the Kay and Gus Show here on GoPro Radio Network. We are ready to roll, and we have an exciting guest coming into the studio, and I know he is in all probability stuck in traffic, and that person is Dominic Carter, and I'm quite sure you might remember, many of you might remember Dominic Carter's name. He is a one of the top journalists. He goes back to the days of WLIB presently on RNN. Speaker. He's a dynamic, motivational speaker. He is a host. He is a reporter. He is an anchor. And he was also with Time Warner, New York One, and a number of other things. Top journalist, also writing for the Huffington Post. Dominic has interviewed such people as Nelson Mandela, Condoleezza Rice, Bill and Hillary Clinton, Charlie Rangel, and a number of other people, and on CNN, MSNBC, Face the Nation. And he is absolutely fantastic. And we go back many, many, many years to the WLIB days. And we are going to be talking to him about some very serious political issues. As a matter of fact, we want to talk a little bit about the Mitt Romney versus Obama versus whoever else. Anyway, we are going to be talking to Dominic about a number of things. We also, what we do want to talk about is the same-sex marriage controversy, you know, that some same-sex, same-sex marriage controversy, the words from the black ministers, and this election is not going to define Obama, and we're going to be talking to Dominic about that. We're going to be talking about some of the dangerous rhetoric that the GOP has been using, mainly the Republicans. We are also going to be talking about the Tea Party people and this dangerous element that they have, you know, very often, wherever they are in town or around. You know, we always hear about the possibility of them having guns, and some of them do. And that is pretty dangerous for even to happen, and I think it's going to be happening again as soon as the run for the presidency really starts reaching a peak, and we're getting to that particular point. I remember a lady talking to, who was it? I think it was Romney or somebody. And, he did, but she was talking to Romney. She was one of the people in the audience and asked him or told him that Obama should be charged with treason. And the amazing thing is that Romney never even straightened that out, nor did he address it. A serious thing like that. How dare she, you know, even imply something like that? We're also going to be talking about abolishing the death penalty. You know, that's a serious issue that has been coming up, you know, on the news and all over the place. And in fact, there's a big problem with incarceration anyway, because the fact there's so many people in jail, and a lot of people are getting out of jail and, you know, not inmates anymore and trying to find jobs. And that's very difficult. So naturally. But the point is to try to find something that they can do and work and give them maybe a second chance at a wonderful life. Anyway, we have a lot to talk about, you know, to Dominic. The security issue for Obama, the fact that the political events of, you know, President Obama's campaign, you know, is there going to be a serious backlash among some of these people who are threatening, you know, Obama and all that kind of thing that goes on with being the first African-American president? So we do have a lot to talk about, and we will be talking to him very soon. I want to talk about a few things. I don't know if you, for your information, by the way, this is a closer look with Kay Thompson and Gus Hennigwerk, or better known as the Kay and Gus Show. What I'm trying to do right now is to straighten out this mic. You see me tied to? I'm trying to, because I don't really want to mess up my hair. Okay, let me put it on. All right, hair mess up. Okay, anyway, so we're going to be talking about a number of things. Did you know that I saw Gus a couple of days ago? I have to tell you about this. And he is, he's making some progress. And what I did was I took one of his tapes, one of his shows, not his shows, really, it was a tribute that we did to Gus Hennigwerk about 6 or 7 years ago. And anyway, I wanted to show him so he would remember some of the people who were there and how his tribute went and how he's so well thought of. And that tape, which was what we did was we taped it at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center, because that's where the tribute was done 7 years ago. And of course, it was in the not the Prudential Hall, because that's the larger hall, but in the Victoria Found the Victoria Hall, and it was absolutely great. And the tape itself, when I played it, was about 2.5 or 3 hours long. And so I think the guests would be getting tired watching it, but he started watching it. And then he kept on watching it, and he kept on watching it. And I thought maybe he would be really tired. So I finally said, what are you seeing in there? He said, me. So in other words, he was not turning him off, but he enjoyed it. And we had quite a good conversation. And I'm looking forward to the possibility. Who knows? There's a great possibility that, who knows, maybe he will be talking on the show. We will see. I had a good conversation with him and a good visit with him, and I'll be back there again tomorrow. So I want to say hi, Gus. I will see you tomorrow. Anyway, this is the Kay and Gus Show, and we are the News, Information, Education, and Global Communications Nation broadcasting or blogcasting here from GoPro Radio Network. Guess we are located, everyone. I've been saying it every single time that I'm on a Wednesday. We are at in Jersey City at the BW Moving Images Studios. That's 281st Street in Jersey City. And we're between Newark and Jersey Avenues, just in case Dominic is stuck in traffic. And we had difficulty getting here. We're going toward the Holland Tunnel, and it was really rough. We are between Newark and Jersey Avenues. And so he will be here when he can get here. And when he can get here, it is absolutely fine with us. There is going to be, I think, kind of like a very intense election going on with the Obama, with the Obama versus whoever is going to be getting the nod. And it seems like it is Mitt Romney. Yeah, I can't understand this man, because of the fact that he doesn't answer things. He does not answer questions to any extent when you ask him anything. I wonder how he would deal with, racial questions. For instance, I'm thinking of something that's happening with the Trayvon Martin case. I think this is going to get very interesting again, and I think the movement is going to have to continue, and continue it should, and continue it must. And we need for the young people to come out in great numbers to protest that, and keep it alive, keep that story alive, make sure that anything like that does not happen again. Make sure we try to change that, that legislation, the stand your ground legislation, or the stand your ground. I don't know if it's legislation that's been put in by the state or what, but we're going to find out as soon as Dominic Carter comes in here. Also, we want to also see how different media deals with racial issues. And I'm going to go back a ways, just to describe some things to you. I was looking through some of Gus's shows and my shows, just recently. And I came across the racial issues coverage of interracial crime. And that was the topic, how racial issues are covered, by different media outlets. And they brought up, let me tell you who was on the show. First, it was, I think it was Reverend Herbert Daughtry was on, and he and Gus were talking about, I don't know how many of you remember the story of the white woman in Central Park who was raped. And there was a group of, I think, about 5 young African-American teenagers who were taken into custody. And they were called all kinds of names, and even with a big ad referring to them as animals and wilding. At the same time, around the same time, within days of each other, there was an African-American woman, a black woman in Brooklyn, who was raped and thrown off a roof. And so Reverend Daughtry was very involved with this when he found that the press was dealing with it very, very differently. For instance, with a white woman who was had been raped in Central Park, and rape is a horrible crime anyway, any kind of violence toward anyone is horrible. But dealing with practically the same kind of thing, but dealing with the way the press dealt with the white woman who was, unfortunately raped, and the black woman who was unfortunately raped and thrown off a a woman. The two differences were stark, and they weren't fair because of the fact that the major dailies then at that time, now this goes back some years, I was on the air at this time during WLIB's, we were just getting ready and going into some really provocative stories. But anyway, there was a difference in the way they were covering these stories. And we will be right back. We're going for a break or no? Okay, let me finish this when I come back. I'm Kay Thompson. This is Kay and Gus Show here on GoPro Radio Network. We will be right back. Stay with us.
Dancing with particles, mere specks of hope being lifted into the atmosphere, faceless, nameless possibilities. I saw you there. Secrets of society succeed thoughts of history. Cat got your tongue? But time will tell it well, so make sure your ears are tuned into the truth. If something is a threat, you lock it up or kill it. Then make a profit, placing charges on prophets and crucifying them like Jesus. We all need treachery, and if Lumia will agree, he would agree with you. You need to free your mind and stop keeping it locked up in a place where you're wrong because of your truth. I'm angry because you turned our president into a monkey and shot him until he was bloody. Then picked up his body and baked it into a junky Negro cookie to be served in a cafe with tea. In a nearby town, they're selling Obama fried chicken because they know if you're black, you should be finger licking, re-stripping the food of the local structure, slippery, clogging the bottom.
Okay, we are back. I'm Kay Thompson for the Kay and Gus Show here on GoPro Radio Network. And wow, that's some dynamite music. This was something that was composed and created and produced here, Taitu? Yeah, really great stuff. Who did this? I can't hear you. Letitia did, like, really? That's great. I like that. I like that very much. Okay, we were talking about, the way racial issues are dealt with. I'm talking about this old case that was about the young white woman in Central Park was raped by some people. They were found, by the way, these boys were found to be not guilty. And it was just a big mess at that particular time. And then a young African-American woman who was also raped and thrown off the roof. How these two different stories were dealt with differently. By the way, before I go on, I wanted to say to Dominic Carter, in case he's listening in, Dominic, you can even call in if you are stuck in traffic, and that number is 323-679-0906. Let me give that number again, 323-679-0906. Once again, 323-679-0906. And this is a hint for all those people who want to do blog talk radio. You know, when you're giving out a number, make sure you give it out more than one time. Make sure you give it out carefully and slowly and pronounce it so that everyone can understand what numbers you're talking, you're giving out, and make sure you speak directly into the mic. And if you hear my voice change a little bit, that means that I'm doing something wrong because I'm moving my head one way or the other. Am I right, Ty, too? Okay. This is Ty Washington's son there, and call him Ty 1, Ty 2, Ty 3, because the family affair, which is absolutely great. But anyway, going back to racial stereotypes and how race was portrayed in the media, it's changed somewhat, okay? Mainly because of the fact that we have made it change. We have taken a stand against certain things that happened to the black community, and there have been many, many things. You know, and it's very hard, excuse me, it's very hard to get over and beyond these things. And people say, well, why are you still so angry? Well, if racism disappears, then we'll stop being angry. As long as it is in existence, it will be talked about, it will be analyzed until you're blue in the face, until it's done away with, period. I'm not only talking about racism regarding blacks and whites, I'm talking about racism between all peoples who are the recipients of bullying, or just somebody not liking their color, not liking the fact that they are male or female or gay. You know, so we're going to be talking about these things until people really have them and then deal with them on a regular basis so that that you have some fairness about it. You know, so anyway, going back to this story, you know, the major dailies were, you know, really sympathizing with the woman who was in Central Park. and you can't blame them. However, they did not deal the same way with the African-American woman who was raped and also thrown off a room. And so that was one of the stories, and I was really very impressed with that because, you know, I said, wow, some of that same kind of thing is happening now. For instance, I just heard on the radio coming here, one woman had called in on one particular show, and she was saying yes to stop the stop and frisk policy should be continued. Why should it be continued? It should be continued as if it is going to be placed on people of any race and ethnicity, but if it's only going to be dealt with young black males or young Latinos males, that's a no-no. What is that? It's racism, period. Can you tell me it's anything else? For those of you who say yes to stop and frisk, no. You know, especially, you know, no matter how you're dressed, when these young men have to be stopped and frisked and thrown up against the wall, doesn't someone have to pay for that? So, you know, you get sort of kind of tired of hearing this kind of thing. Then we have this new thing that's going on. That means that we have a whole huge incarceration thing. That as soon as you have a stop and frisk and the young guys are thrown against the wall, very often they are arrested. And guess what happens? Their lives are ruined. If they were going to school, they're going to have trouble getting to school. They're having an arrest record. So it's racism. It's racism any way you want to look at it due to color. And people get tired of hearing about it. I don't blame you because I am so darn tired of talking about it. Anyway, that's the kind of thing that I was looking at with one of Gus's shows that he did some years ago. And so we're going to be making these shows available to you because there's a lot of things that maybe you have forgotten about. We'd like to congratulate, though, Reverend Herbert Daughtry because at that particular time, and he's been very, very involved still, and he has the wall, which is a memorial wall to all the people who have been, you know, treated very, who have died at the hands of, you know, police persons, at the hands of, you know, of people who are concerned about race, still can't get over the fact that you've got to live with other people or you're not going to live at all, really. So anyway, the Central Park, the Howard Beach case, all these cases, there was always a different way of looking at it. And it wasn't fair. And as long as it exists, we will be talking about it. Let me go in another direction. Let me talk about the president. You know, leading black clerics, some reject gay marriage, and yet they still are going to be for Obama's call, Obama's being reelected. The Reverend Reginald Jackson, a major force in New Jersey's African-American community. I'm getting this out of the Star Ledger in Newark. This is in the paper a couple days ago. He reaffirmed his position against gay marriage yesterday while still applauding President Obama for taking a courageous stance. And the president did take a courageous stance. And Reverend Jackson said that clearly the overwhelming majority of black clergy and churches oppose gay marriage. However, for us, this is not a political, but a theological issue. More specifically, this is an issue of our faith. But from the understanding of most black Christians, marriage is between a man and a woman. Now, since the president's announcement, there has been some black clergy who have inferred that the president will be hurt in the black community by this decision. He said, few blacks will back away from the president who has stood with us on health care, education, and other important issues which impact our community. That's one of the things that we're going to be talking to Dominic Carter, and he is here. Okay, let's go for a break, and so I can say hello to Dominic, who I haven't seen in a long, long time. I've got to hug him. Stay with us. So we'll be right back.
Yeah. Fuck you, you rather. We holler, reach your ball, break free the ball, shotgun and fist up, rock it till we free the ball. White ball, resist your physical beat at all. She ain't got the government like shatter the wall. We gotta start a lyrical recall. We can start from the pigs, since the days of the crawl. Of black skin target. The pimpin' is the slave market. So got it. Black gold, hey, sergeant. A journalist, bold, threaten a system. Think not twice, white jury conviction. You drive not for miles, so shut it down. Ain't no justice for us, the days of the now. So kill me. Stay away. Stay away. Now we gotta step it up, imagine them free, y'all. Now make it be ball, breaking them stars. War on a black and ball, so that we read, y'all. Let it not happen for, like any means, you know the call. I'ma burn every stage with the rage and the call. Black Panther engaged, and it gets flame on. Practice, that's the range, put a range to the launch. Fuck they long.
And we're back, The King Gus Show here, Kate Thompson. And I'm sounding better and better and better because Dominic Carter, my long-lost buddy, is here.
Long, long, long-lost buddy.
How are you?
Kay, it's so nice
to see you.
To see you look good. You look fantastic.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You look fantastic.
Keep telling me. Keep telling me.
And before I say anything else, I just must say this. Look. I want to thank you for... I've known you for 20-plus years.
Yeah, yeah.
You've always been a pillar of strength for the community. You've always been a voice for the voiceless.
Mm-hmm.
You've always been a strong sister who always did the right thing. And it seems to me that you've dedicated your life to the struggle of helping others when you didn't have to.
Yeah.
You could have frankly sold out or did whatever a long, long time ago and been well paid.
Yeah.
By the powers that
nobody
be.
Nobody told me that. No.
I am so honored to be here with you.
I'm so glad you're here. We haven't even seen... No, yes, we saw each other, Dominic, about five years ago.
Yes.
Because, you know, Dr. Janey was the superintendent in Newark at the time.
Yes, he was.
And he, you know, we had you on the air.
Yes.
You know, and because you had come out with this great book, which I'm glad that you brought me another copy of, because you know somebody took my book.
Oh.
You know, and it's No Mama's Boy, and people can still get this, right?
You sure can.
Wow. Let me tell you, everybody, this book is dynamite. No Mama's Boy, How I Let Go of My Past and Embrace the Future. Tell me about the book for a hot minute, and then we'll go right into talking some heavy-duty politics.
Fine. We can talk politics as long as you want. The book is all about my life.
Uh-huh.
And I say never judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
Because most people know me from television in New York City, asking the tough questions of politicians. And I've done some national media in terms of On Face the Nation, a Hardball with Chris Matthews. But what most people don't know is that I grew up poor, on welfare, no father, in the projects. My mom suffered from severe mental illness.
Mm.
And my mom was a chronic paranoid schizophrenic. And I was a victim of severe child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone that knew, and sexual abuse,
mm-hmm.
and anyone that knew me, knew Dominic Carter, they never knew my real life story.
Yeah.
And so I wrote this book because it's a book of perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book of, I really believe, Kay, that if we're not in life, our status where we want to be, no excuses. Look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Anything is possible if you believe in yourself, if you're willing to work for it. I wrote the book because I want people to know that nothing in life that's worthwhile is easy.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to struggle for everything. But just the final point, it's a blueprint. I've traveled, as you know, from my radio days when we worked together, when I was assigned to travel all over the world with the Reverend Jesse Jackson. One thing that bothered me, Kate, to my core, almost every African-American community that I visited in almost every major city across the country, it was almost the same thing. And you saw this back in the 80s in terms of some people doing well, but young people not really working to their potential.
Uh-huh.
Babies having babies, which is a huge problem as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, sure.
And so I wrote this book to say as a blueprint to any person, particularly any young person, that anything is possible in life if you believe in yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we should believe in ourselves because, you know what? There have been so many negative things that have happened to us in the past. It's really hard to get beyond that. You know, because when I was just talking about the Central Park case, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then also the young African-American woman who also raped at that time and thrown off of Brooklyn, the roof. And the coverage of the press was so different. I was on the air at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the boys being arrested. And then
mm-hmm.
later on, a lot of people didn't know that some of them were found not guilty. And in fact, all of them were found not guilty.
All of them were found not guilty.
Yeah.
And I know all of them very well. And they have the Central Park Five.
Yeah.
They have
thanked
me for never giving up on them in terms of oppressing District Attorney Robert Morgenthau.
Yes, and neither
on the issue.
And neither did Anna Phillips over there.
That's right.
CBS.
That's right.
Anna kept on it and kept
that's
on
right.
it.
That's right. That's right.
I hope she's listening in right now. She's
and you see, and you see, that's why for people that are interested possibly in communications, there are a million jobs in television.
Yeah.
You mentioned Anna Phillips.
Yeah.
Anna is one of the people that's a trailblazer for me.
Yeah.
Anna Phillips, just so that the audience can follow us, is a behind-the-scenes producer.
That's right.
But she has the power to pursue a story
yeah.
that she believes in.
She just retired from 2020.
That's right.
She was a senior producer
that's
for
right.
the Haitian, you know, earthquake.
That's right.
And then she, you know, after 20-some-odd years, and she's
and,
doing okay.
And let
right
me
now.
Tell you something, Kay. I can't repeat one of the jokes she told me. When, down to earth, I can't repeat it.
What?
You know how she is.
Oh.
A down-to-earth sister.
Yeah.
Down-to-earth sister.
That's my buddy.
Okay? Okay, there's no mistaking Kay Thompson or Anna Phillips. None. None. Don't get it twisted, as the kids say.
Listen, the Tawana Brawley days.
Tawana Brawley days.
Mm-hmm. The Jesse Jackson days.
Mm-hmm.
You would call me.
Mm-hmm. We did
know.
It together.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one time, Kay, I remember.
You're in Texas one time.
That's right.
Yeah.
I remember one time, I think it was the Stansberry case.
Uh-huh.
And Woodbridge houses are right over the 59th
yeah.
Street Bridge.
Yeah.
And I remember one time, Kay, I was embarrassed.
Mm.
I don't even know if you realize, but I almost thought my voice started cracking so much because I had never seen law enforcement interact with a community of color like
yeah.
that
yeah.
in terms of the violence. And I almost started crying. We were live on the air.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I remember it was about 6:30, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been through a lot together.
And you know one thing, I've never, you know, I would get so angry that you could almost hear the anger pouring out
mm-hmm.
when I think of the Tawana Brawley case
mm-hmm.
and that whole thing that the community had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And then so many others, you know, when Al was beaten up, Al Sharpton, and look at Al
mm-hmm.
now.
Well,
I want to say
mm-hmm.
to people,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of the fact that look where he is now. And he was so right in so many things and still right. And now we have an African-American president.
Can you believe that, Kay?
You know,
when you think about it and look at the days when we started together in
yeah.
radio, I honestly think not many of us believed that this day would come.
Would ever happen. Yeah.
And you know what, though? God is good.
God is good.
Because Mr. Obama had to be the perfect candidate.
He is.
Perfect.
He wasn't.
Okay. Now, in our community, the Clintons are liked. They're
yeah.
liked.
Okay.
You know, some say first black president, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah.
All that. Whatever.
Right. All that.
Uh-huh.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But you had to be good enough to beat Bill and Hillary Clinton.
That's right.
And this brother came out of nowhere.
Nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Don't you love it?
And said, look at me.
Uh-huh.
And when Hillary Clinton was under attack for supporting the war, and she couldn't backtrack off of that
uh-huh.
vote,
uh-huh.
they had nothing. And see, this is why I'm saying it was like the quiet storm.
Yeah.
They had nothing to hang over Mr. Obama.
Uh-huh.
He had been against the war
mm-hmm.
from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And so look at him in terms of the pillar of strength. I look at, Kay, the times that when we started in radio, to now two African-American children running around the grounds
mm-hmm.
of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think
is
about
that
sometimes.
Heavy? Is that heavy?
It's as heavy as
it
gets.
It. And all that means to us. And, you know, one thing, like I was talking about, you know, the same-sex marriage, you know,
mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
that Obama came out for. He had to do that. This is a civil right.
It is a civil right.
This is a right.
But it's a risky one, okay?
It may be risky, but the point is he had to do it. I'm glad he did it. And so I think the majority of my friends think he had to do it because it was the right thing to do. And people are saying that on television that the majority of black ministers are not for Obama. Reggie Jackson said no. He may be Reggie Jackson, Reverend Reginald Jackson in East Orange, New Jersey, said no. He may be against, you know, same-sex marriage. However, he is still still for Obama.
Let's be crystal clear about this. Now, let me start with the latter point you made. I don't know of a single African-American minister that is now advising his people to vote against the president.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
one. Mm-hmm. They are still, African-Americans are still going to turn out, hopefully in record numbers, to support Mr. Obama.
And we have to do it
Obama.
More than ever now.
And let me tell you something, Kay, because I'm going to tell you this right now, because I'm going to come back and hopefully you'll have me back to do your show.
Of course.
I want to be crystal clear about one thing.
What?
The day after the election, people always ask me, Brother Dominic Carter, how can you help me with the political process? My first question is, are you registered to vote?
Right.
Do you
right.
vote? No, brother, the system is fixed. We can't get no justice. Brother, if you don't vote, you can't, then politicians
exactly.
don't care about
exactly.
you. Here's what I want to go on record as saying right now. If you, meaning the entire world that can hear us now, if you don't turn out to vote, like your life depends on it, don't whine the day after the election and go, oh, my God, he lost.
That's right.
No.
That's right.
No.
Don't even say anything.
That's right.
But what's even beyond that, before it even gets to that day, what we have to do is you have to, in every single state, every single community, check out what the procedure is. Because there are, how many different states are that are now demanding that you have a photo ID
at least 35
in order
states.
For you, in order for you to vote.
And,
so
and we know and we know what that's really all
of
about.
Of course we do. You know, what is a photo ID?
And to the folks in North Carolina, I hope that you're observing what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The last time around, with a record amount of turnout of young people, of African Americans, President Obama won the state of North Carolina by less than 1%.
By less than 1%?
Less than 1%, by the narrowest of margins.
In North Carolina.
He is now trailing Mr. Romney, according to the latest poll.
Was that in North Carolina?
North Carolina poll. Mm-hmm. He's now trailing Mr. Romney in North Carolina by 8 points. And so the point is this. If you don't think your life depends on this election,
mm-hmm.
then you a fool.
That's right.
It's that simple.
That's right. And people should realize that and get out. You have to find out what the procedure is. It may have been changed in your state. So find out now. Don't wait until election day. Don't wait until 2 weeks
Because if
before.
You wait until the day of the election, they got you.
That's right.
Because
you're
when
not
you show
going
up,
to be able to
when
vote.
You show up to vote, a law enforcement official will say, well, ma'am, mm-hmm. I respect your right, you know, but here's the procedure. And if you don't meet step A, B, C, D, the criteria, you can't vote.
Let's get back to the same sex thing with,
okay.
You know, marriage. You know one thing? I don't care who you are, who you love, what you do. The point is you have rights.
Right.
If people are kept from voting or kept from marrying whoever they want to marry, that is against their basic rights according to the Constitution.
Well,
so what are they talking about?
Well, let me – I'm gonna
this
try,
isn't even an issue. This shouldn't
I'm
even be an issue.
I'm going to try, Kay, and give you the other side.
Okay.
I mean, as much as possible. As you know, there are now, what, I believe 35 states that have voted against gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And the belief is, based on their argument, not mine, their argument, that marriage consists of a man and a woman.
That's what Romney has been saying. Okay.
You know, so that's the argument. My point is this. It's refreshing that we have a president of the United States that stands on principle.
That's right.
Oh, my God. It's shocking. We have a president that's going to do something that's right. And he knows it could cost him the election.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am telling you this, Kay, having traveled the entire country in places like Iowa, Nebraska, Pennsylvania, Ohio, North Carolina, they don't see the world the way we do in the progressive northern states.
Yeah.
They look at us is almost off the cliff.
Yeah, like we're foreigners.
Like we're foreigners.
Yeah, well, you know.
And so see, I want to ask you a question, if you don't mind. I want you to explain this to me. If you listen to the polls, there's a gender gap where President Obama is over Mr. Romney by like 10 points, even though one poll showed it much closer. But there's a gender gap. So women support Obama more than they do Romney. If you look at in terms of likability, President Obama has a large double digit gap lead over Romney.
Right.
Every scientific, if you will, category that society uses to judge Obama is over Romney.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the horse race, Romney is leading Obama. Why is that?
How is that?
How is that?
I don't know. How? Tell me.
You tell me. Because you already know the answer, just like I already know the answer. Could it be because he's the first president of color?
Would never even think that.
That Romney.
That is the only reason. And people need to face that. And they're doing everything in the world to keep that from being an issue. They don't want to talk about race. They don't even want to deal with it. But if you're not for President Obama, with all the things that he stands for, especially women, okay, then I don't know what you're thinking about. You're thinking race. That's exactly what you were thinking. The fact that we have an African-American president is still like garbage in the mouths of. They just have a terrible taste.
Good word. Good choice of word.
It's just garbage.
Good choice of word.
They just can't deal with it. They can't even
No matter what. And you know what? On the issue of gay marriage, my personal belief, and I really share my own personal belief, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a civil right that everyone is entitled to. Because if you love someone, let's say you're involved in a same-sex relationship. Mm. If you love someone and you've stood by them through good times and bad times, and 25 years later, and this really happened, and then the family of one of the individuals involved can't deal with it, and the other one dies, that's not right that you can't go to the funeral.
Oh,
you can't visit the person in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any protections. And it's nice to see that in the entertainment world, Jay-Z, say whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Jay-Z is doing a lot of positive things
in
terms of Jay-Z came out on CNN and supported President Obama on same-sex marriage.
I saw. Of course.
And it's fantastic.
Because he's an intelligent young man, period.
That's right.
Okay.
Period.
Yeah. Let's go to Trayvon Martin.
Don't get me started, please, Kay.
Look.
Please don't get me started.
You know one thing, when this thing first happened, and and I was on talking about the stop and frisk. You remember years ago what they did to the kids, the NYPD did to the kids in, where is it, Queens?
They still do it.
Okay. Picking up the kids, having them stand in line
still do
for
it.
A lineup.
Right.
Right.
Telling them to give them
$15.
And the next thing you know, you charge with a murder or an assault.
And then they say, look at this file. Here, we picked him up.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
So, it's just a horrible thing that we have to get beyond. What should we do?
But see, I return to my premise of all of us have to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You have to vote. Politicians, that's all at the end of the day that they respect.
Mm-hmm.
They fear people that vote.
That's right.
There are other communities that deliver block votes. They get everything. Housing developments. It seems like sometimes all our elected officials receive are a photo op and a picnic.
Mm-hmm.
While other communities are receiving housing grants for $200 million.
Yeah.
And so, one, when I say don't get me started on Trayvon, because you and I have been covering this, Trayvon before he was even born.
Yeah.
For 20 plus years.
Amadou Diallo.
For 20 plus years.
Eleanor Bumper.
And when you think about the fact that this young man is dead because he had Skittles and an iced tea.
Mm-hmm.
And some, as Governor David Patterson of New York called him, some Rambo who thinks that he's entitled to enforce the law.
Mm-hmm.
And let's keep it real, Kay. Why hasn't he been able to get a job in law enforcement? Mm-hmm. Mr. Zimmerman, if that's what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy has been able to fix everything for Zimmerman.
And the father's a former judge.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Daddy almost fixed this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because Trayvon Martin sat in that morgue, unidentified.
3 days.
3 days. 3 days. They almost, the fix was in, and they almost got away with it. But you know what? God is good. And what I mean by that is Trayvon's mother and father said, not this time,
yeah,
not with our baby. And so when you think about it, Kay, and you see, I had a house in a community in Pennsylvania just like that. Mine was a gated community. But who are you to say that he doesn't fit? And then you're told by 911, don't get involved.
And still you go and be involved.
And then you want to show us pictures where you're bleeding and... That still doesn't prove anything. That doesn't prove anything.
You know, something's very wrong with that. We'll be right back. We have to take a break, Dominic. We will be right back. Kay, here, part of the Kay and Gus Show with Dominic Carter. We'll be right back.
So this is your first beat, the blue we call it the zoo. Welcome to First Street, the niggas in this mix over here, they're dirt cheap. And two family homes, three people per square feet. The niggas don't have jobs, there's nothing more than big dreamers. Cage birds who sell weed for little misdemeanors. Only time we ruffle this feathers is to achieve quotas. Little girls, practically teens, we're pushing three strollers. Every once in a while, you gotta be hostile. Police intervention don't mean they gonna be docile. If you see one of them dick around with the top down, assume he's suspicious. Stop and break them and watch how. He was responsible for barrage and shot down. We shoot first. I don't want to call in a cop now. They can't be trusted. So disgusted, but somehow I'm corrupted. Nerve to call it corrupted. Fuck serving the public. I ain't a soldier. The days of protecting and serving are over. I am nobody's puppet, tool or henchman. Cause all I care about is collecting a pension. Now this be a hoe to the moon. Back, back, the boom, back. Back to boom, back, back. This be the O to the boom, back, back to boom, back, back to boom. This be the O to the boom, back, back to boom, back, back to boom, back. Now this be the O to the boom, back, back to boom, back, back to boom. Rebel without a cause, mellow without a ball. Confined within the walls of brick and metal walls is the core of the hood. My fellow fellas be bored, so we street dream, but quick schemes compel us all. My mom got caught by the street block. The street blocks full of moving over like CL and P5. Rain bottom on back to beat by
Okay, we are back, everyone. Kay Thompson here with the Kay and Gus Show, and I'm with Dominic Carter. And if you don't know Dominic Carter, well, you'll know him after today's. Tonight is over. motivational speaker. Which you are doing a lot of. Author, reporter, journalist, covered some major, major stories, all the way covered the Jesse Jackson thing years and years ago. By the way, I want to tell people the music that you have been hearing.
Which is great.
Yeah, isn't that fantastic? Well, this is created and composed by On the Move, sounds inspired by Mumia Abu-Jamal. And people can get it if you go to www.blackwax. And wax, by the way, is spelled www.blackwaxx.com, and then you can get this On the Move DVD, and I'll give you out more information, and it's absolutely some fantastic stuff. And wow, see, I'm just hearing a lot of this for the first time, and there's something on here that Nana Soul does that Ayana, who's coming up next, you will hear her.
Wow.
Voice. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to show you this picture. Yeah. This is what I'm about. You said motivational speaker and so on.
Yeah.
That young lady, her name is Samantha Jackson.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Why do I know that name?
Now, well, she has a very interesting story.
Uh-huh.
She heard me as her graduation speaker at Hostos Community College on the Grand Concourse in the Bronx.
Uh-huh.
And this was in 2008. And I was so honored to be there because they tell us that our kids are nothing. That's the message that they try and send. And these are kids from the Grand Concourse that were graduating, African American, Latino.
Right after this, we're going to go for a caller, by the way. Someone's on the line.
Okay,
go ahead.
I'll be done real quick.
Yeah.
She graduated, took a year off from school, and she said because of my message, it gave her hope. Guess where she got her undergraduate degree from?
Where?
Columbia University. And guess where she is right now?
Where?
She's studying for her master's at Brown University.
See that?
Of all the Ivies.
And you did that. And you motivated her.
Well, she did. She did.
Yeah, well, she did it, but I mean, you motivated her.
Well, I try.
Yeah.
And I speak all over the country.
Yeah.
And, you know, a message of a message of you can do it. Anything is possible.
We're going to go for a call right now. I think we have a caller on the line. You're on the air. Hello, are you there? You're on the air. Hello, hello. Do we have that person on the line? Hello, you're on the air. Okay. Did we lose? Probably lost that call. If we do, we'll get it back.
Maybe they'll call back.
Yeah, let me give out the number again. It's 323-679-0906. And this is, you know, Kay's Gus Show, 323-679-0906. I'm paying attention now to the screen here to see whenever we have a caller, because I'm so excited about the fact that Dominic Carter is here.
Well, you mentioned journalism. I now work at RNN Television.
I know.
Based out of Rye Brook, New York. Airs in
you
five
came
states.
All the way from Rye, New York to get here?
I'd come anywhere where you work at. because see, I'm at the stage of my career, 25 years in journalism.
Yeah.
I don't have to be a phony. I only do things that I want to do. And I would come anywhere for you because
you
are the real deal.
Thank you, John.
And so, you know, 25 years in journalism, the one thing that really stands out for me, you know, I will never forget when I think it was 1991, yes, when Mr. Mandela came to America.
Yeah.
And I got the opportunity to interview him.
Do you remember when I, with Gary and Moore,
yes,
we were at the Apollo Theater?
Yes.
And they said, Kay, it's your turn. And I couldn't even talk. I was so overwhelmed. I couldn't say anything. Me, who talks all the time.
That's right.
You know,
well,
yeah.
let me tell you something, Kay. When I remember that
you
remote,
traveled.
Yeah,
yeah, you traveled over there.
When he walked into the room, right, I normally psych myself out.
Uh-huh.
When it's somebody real big, there's like two angels appear on my shoulders.
Yeah.
One says, you can do this. And the other one says, no, you can't. You can do this. No, you can't. So the door opened and in walked. Now, you got to understand, there were about 200 State Department agents trying to protect him. They had a Mandela mobile traveling.
Remember.
And in walks Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, I was down there at the police, you know, patio.
And he said, hello, young man. You know? And we had a chance to talk before going on the air. And I said, Mr.
Were
Mandela.
Were you able to talk?
Well, for a hot minute. I said, Mr. Mandela, I'm a little confused here. And he says, about what? He had the most beautiful brown skin I had ever seen in my life. I said, Mr. Mandela, you just got out of jail for 25 years, and you could have got out years ago if you just denounced the ANC.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not angry at
he
all.
He would not do it.
And he would not do it. And he said, and he's just chuckled. And I'm like, and he says, young man, he said, for me to be angry now or back then would be giving in to my captors.
Uh-huh.
And I thought about that, Kay, and I was like, none of us got the right or the reason to be angry about anything when Nelson Mandela can go to jail for 25 years.
Honestly.
And he's
that's
not
right.
upset.
That's right. Let me tell you my experience. You know, when we remember when he was in the mobile and it was in the ticker tape parade like mad, you know, and of course she was super crowded down there, police plaza. And when he got up to Harlem and all the press, you know, we were there and they had put up this podium and whatnot out there in the middle of the 125th and Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard. And all of a sudden Mandela was coming in, you know, we were standing on chairs and everything to try to get, you know, pictures or, you know, I was talking on the air at the same time, describing, you know, how the nature of the crowd and all that sort of thing. People were so thrilled. And when he came walking up and he went up the stairs of where the podium was, you know, up this platform. And do you know what happened? I talked about it on the air because I was so baffled by it. All of a sudden, there was a light. There was a light. Good Lord. We're almost over until the show's almost over. But anyway, there was a light that it was like a ray of light. And I thought it was a right on him when he came up. And it illuminated him. It was right on him. And I was looking around. I said, wow, that spotlight's bright. And I'm looking around trying to see it, and I think, I don't know who's standing with me. It could have been Mark or somebody, you know. And I'm saying, wow, where is that light coming from? And there wasn't a spotlight. Here I'm looking for a spotlight because the light was shining right on him as soon as he stepped on there.
Mm-hmm.
Looked around, and you know where it was? It was the sun.
Mm-hmm.
The sun, for some reason, broke
I believe
ground,
it.
And then came right on him.
I believe
and
it.
Talk about an experience. I stood there with my mouth open, and I never forgot that there was not a spotlight there on that man. But when he stepped up on that stage, the whole thing just lit up.
Well, just think about it. The power of believing.
Yeah.
He was treated like an animal.
Yeah.
But he was the first black president of South Africa. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The power of believing.
Dominic, we only have about 6 minutes left. Can
I've
you believe
talked
this?
Too much.
No, you haven't talked enough.
I've talked too much.
Now I want you to tell me, you know, the most interesting story, the most fascinating story that you've done. Or what's the most fascinating part of your life that you would like to tell us right now with me? Because I haven't seen you in so long. Well, I saw you
a
few years ago
time.
In Jersey, but, you know, mm-hmm. You sit down and talk for a while. We haven't been able to do that.
The most fascinating part of my life has been, honestly, Kay, since I did this book. Because I had lifelong secrets that I thought I was so embarrassed about.
That's what you're going to have to come back and talk
about.
And
I will. Lifelong secrets that I thought I would never reveal. Mm-hmm. Being a victim of childhood sexual abuse and so on. And all the bad things. And when you have deep, dark secrets and you don't have the ability to forgive, and I hope people, if you ever heard nothing else I've said, please hear this, the power of forgiveness. When I forgave my mother, see, I've done 25 years of television, making the money, owning the homes, all of that crap. And it is crap because it's material crap.
Yeah.
But once I was able to forgive my mother, who is now deceased, for some of the bad things that happened, I felt like 800 pounds had been lifted off my back.
You felt cleansed.
And, yes. And like I could finally breathe. And so these days, my life is happy for the first time in my life. For the first time in my life. And so I've done it all. I've traveled to Jamaica covering hurricanes and Learjets and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, it is a
living
time
large.
For
it's
that.
Called Dominic.
It's
living
called
large.
Living large. Well, but it's also a lot of hard work.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And in our business, something has to give.
Yeah.
And you know, my family paid a great price because I was rarely around. You know, always doing something. So, but it's just been a great ride, a great experience, and. You know, I hate to admit this. This only applies to me, but not to you. I'm getting older. I'm really getting older.
And
know?
It doesn't apply to me.
It don't apply to you, Kay.
Right,
you
right,
look
right.
good.
Yeah.
I got this little pot belly going and, you know, little Al Roker bald head. Sorry, Al. But you don't look a day older.
Well, I don't necessarily feel a day older.
Well, what's the catch? What's the catch?
I don't know. Just having a passion about what you do. You know, when I finally
You've
decided to.
You've always had that passion.
Yeah. You know, I loved radio, loved television. You know, and Gus and I are preparing some of our shows and our radio shows and television. You know, I have two shows, part one and part two, of Gil and Gus talking about the when Jesse Jackson was running for the presidency. So the two of them on the show together, they've never done that before.
Wow.
You know, they've never been on the same show at the same time, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah. And then, of course, I have Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, Dr. Van Soderbergh, and Len Gunther, who is, Dr. Ben's nephew, Dr. Gunther. I have those four giants on a part one and a part two.
Well, wait, you said giants, so you have to put yourself in that. Because I'm here to tell you, no, this is not funny. I'm here to tell you. We are all fortunate to be able to listen to you because you, Kay Thompson, are the real deal. You've always been the real deal.
Thank you.
And you're a treasure for our community.
I need him back every single day. But, you know, if not for Ty Washington, you know, and GoPro Radio Network and Black Wax Studio here, I would never have done this because I went up, I filled in for Conroy. You know, on WVIP with Wayne Gilman. Wayne said, you want to do it? I said, I'm not going to drive all the way there. He said, I'll pick you up. I went there. And Dominic, when I walked into the studio, it was like Zoom. Zone hit me. I was there.
Well, this is fantastic. Yeah. This
Coming is back fantastic. And told Gus, let's do radio. Gus says, fine, let's do it.
Wow.
So we have about 50 some odd shows in the can. And we're going to make them, you know, shows here that we've done, you know, with Black Wax, with GoPro Radio Network. Now, this is a network that's going to be extending itself, by the way. So we're going to be having a 24-hour thing. And by the way,
Fantastic.
If you wanted to do a radio show here, you know, we could arrange that.
Well, we have to consider that.
Yeah, because remember, this goes all over the world.
All over the world.
You know, when I had people writing up and saying that they had heard the show in Rio de Janeiro, all over the place, I said, well, we're really all over the world. But listen, we have to end. Kay and Gus here. Dominic Carter.
Such an honor, Kay. You're a sweetheart.
Back.
I promise.
Love you, love you.
Love you more.
Join us again next week, Lord Drayhorn.